हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
So Songs of the Vaishnavas Acharyas, Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're on the section Bhajana Lasa, Hankering for the Divine Service. So, page 49. So we've gone through the six symptoms of Sharanagati, of surrender, and having come to that understanding of that practice, now then one can be fully absorbed in trying to desire service to Krishna. Vritti. Right. The first nine songs of Bhajan Lasa are based on Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. The first song is based on the first verse of the Upadeshamrita. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. Song 1. Harihe prapanche poriya agati hoya Nadheki upaya ar agatira gati charane sharana tomaya korinu sar. O my Lord Hari, having fallen into the illusion of this world, thus rendered helpless, I see no other means of deliverance but you, since you are the only recourse for the helpless. I accept the shelter of your lotus feet as most essential. Karama keyana kichu nahi mora sarana bhajana nai Tumi kripa moi, ami tu kangala, ahai tuki kripa chai. I have no background of pious activities, nor any knowledge, nor any regulated devotional practice. But you are full of compassion and kindness. Therefore I, being indeed destitute, solicit your causeless mercy. Vakyam mano vega, krodha jiva vega, udara upasta vega. Milia e shava samsara bhashaye didiche paramamodvega.
This is the verse of Upadeshamrita,
yeah.
The first one.
Yes. Just put into Bengali now. The powerful urges of speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals have banded together to cast me adrift on the ocean of this material world. This causes me grievous trouble, because when you're adrift means you have no direction. Like if you're on a raft, but there's no rudder, there's nothing to, nothing to for the wind, yeah, no sail. You just drift around as whatever it is. So by the modes of nature, you're just adrift of this sea of the material world, just however the modes come and this and that. Like you see the modes come up, like now, the modes are such that you have the planets are in a position that will cause dissension and those kind of things. And so you see is once in the karmic world, everyone's just fighting over everything and everything like that. You know, so it's just that's a drift in the material world. Just as Maya presents the modes, then people follow. You know, they feel they're independent, but actually then they're not. Okay. Aneka jatane se shaba dhamane chadi achi ashama am anatera nata dhaki tava nama ekona bharasa tumi. You're not looking at the Bengali? Turn the page. What? Not the Bengali. After numerous endeavors to subdue these material demands, I have completely given up all hope. O Lord of the destitute, I call upon your holy name, for now you are my only hope. Right? So that's what we were discussing earlier, is that our position is choice. Because there's always a discussion of free will. Where's my free will? If you have, it's, free will means choice. Free will doesn't mean whether you can do it or not. Free will is choice. Right? So then if you make a choice and then that facility is available, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you have to produce the facility. Right? You know, if you decide you want to eat ice cream, are you producing the ice cream? You go out to some place, they produce it. You know, and they're producing ice cream, but what about the ingredients? Someone else produced that. You know, so this whole idea is, no, as I have to be controlling everything, says, no, you don't. You don't do that in your day-to-day life. It's choice is the free will. You know, and predestiny is results, not choice. So here is that he's understanding that he's made choices of these things, and now his only shelter is he's given up all hope of being able to control these. So he surrenders to the Lord, surrenders to the holy name. By that, then only we can cross. Riti. The second song is based on the second verse of Upadeshamrita. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. Right? So we see as in an earlier discussion that these things can come up and be an actual underlying or unconscious motive for these kind of, you know, intense discussions of you know, Vaishnava theology that, you know, that becomes so important on so many platforms other than the spiritual platform. Psalm 2. Hari Hey, Artera Sanchaye Vishaya Prayashe Ano Kata Prajalpane Ano Adhikara Niyama Agrahe Asat Sangha Samgatane. O my Lord Hari, I have become absorbed in accumulating wealth and endeavoring for material possessions. I am addicted to idle conversations on topics apart from you. I mistakenly accept duties apart from my own qualifications, and I am always eager to adhere to the letter of the law. This is the consequence of associating with worldly men. So, they're accumulating more wealth and endeavoring for material possessions. So it's more than required, because you think, oh, if we get this, I'll be happy. But as soon as you get that, then we want more. We just keep going. So that's because we're seeing it as just wealth. If you have wealth, then that means you have influence, you have facility for enjoyment. Right? So in other words, this control and enjoyment becomes the main thing, or security and enjoyment, gain and safety. So the gain, then that will give us, you know, by that we get safety, by that we get enjoyment. At least that's the theory. Whether anybody's actually enjoying is another thing. So, therefore, when you see it in the context of devotional service, then you see how much possessions and how much wealth do I require for my service to Krishna. If you need a lot, you do a lot. Let's say somebody is a big industrialist, so they're going to require more facility and more money than someone who's doing something much smaller, like that. But the point is they have to be nicely engaged, so they don't need more. If he only needs one factory, why have two? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. It's just wherever it is, because you can say, oh, but he has so much, but that's, but point of him is, for him, it's just one factory. You have three shops. Why are you complaining? If he has four factories, then you can complain. I have three, it's enough. Why he has four? Does that make sense? Yeah. I am addicted to idle conversations and topics apart from you. So it's just we like talking about gossip and this and that. So we also have to be careful, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura in the Bhakti Loka, then he brings in that idle conversations on topics apart from you that are their fault finding of the Vaishnavas is also a form of prajalpa. It's also a form that we get too much into that. So unless the point is being made on what you should do, what to avoid, in other words, what is to be done, what's to be avoided, but it was just on finding fault, then that just becomes prajalpa. Nothing's gained, nothing's learned like that. So that one can find the fault, that's not the big thing. We may think, okay, well, we found the fault, so that, because if I find the fault, that puts me, in my mind, in a superior position to the other person. You know, just like in the academy, in the modern academy, then someone has a theory and I find a fault in it, that makes me superior to him. My theory now becomes the main one, his is left. So if I can find a fault, I become. You're like politicians. Find a fault in another person and then you get the position. So it's all based on that. So that if it's not in relationship to how that will bring you closer to Krishna, then there's no importance to it. I mistakenly accept duties apart from my own qualifications. Right? Because the thing is because qualifications means guna and karma. Right? Because people think, I can do this activity, but do you have the qualifications? Do you have the nature to do it? Because the two go together. It's guna and karma. It's not just guna or just karma. So, things that I don't have either the guna or the karma or both, or neither, I accept those duties. But at the same time, I am always eager to adhere to the letter of the law. So you see, as many times, it's interesting because he's mentioned it here. Someone who is so much into the modern liberal political positions, breaking down all tradition, whatever areas that is they see as valuable to their position, then it's to the adhere to the letter of the law. Every letter, you know, every word, you know, that anyone's breaking, you know. Does that make sense? So it's very, very common. Very, very common. You know, whatever the position, you may be doing whatever you're doing, but someone else, then they're not following the letter of the law in their position, then you're going to find fault. You were to say something?
Yeah, because we were discussing just recently is that to find a person pious enough who has guna and karma for certain activity, it's very rare.
Yes, yes.
But then in devotional service, we see that often we are given the duties by the authorities or the spiritual master or, you know, superiors, basically. So, if we have guna and karma, it gives a certain experience, which is quite positive.
More, what do you call it? Serotonin.
Yes. That kind of thing. But if not, serotonin.
Means you accomplish something. Well, if not, you sit around talking in meetings and yelling and screaming, and it creates the dopamine. You know?
Yeah. But then, sometimes we're given duties, they don't match the guna and karma. And in devotional service, like you mentioned previously, we have to surrender. So although we follow the duties, we don't get the same experience. We get negative experience in devotional service. And although we do perform devotional service on an absolute level, we do achieve the results of pure devotional service, but the experience is completely opposite. No dopamine, no serotonin, no, nothing. It's just negative emotions.
No, but you're getting the devotional emotions.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, it happens, you know, everywhere. So, how can we balance those?
Well, that's why you see is that you're dealing with the spiritual, but you're also working in the context of applying that spiritual within the particular time, place, and circumstance that the living entities are in. So that's why Prabhupada mentions for leadership, they need to understand varnashram so they're aware of that certain persons are going to be better at doing certain activities. And it's not going to be based necessarily on their maturity, but just on the material qualities that they have. So you might have someone who's only been around a few years in the movement, but he actually has the qualification to be the president. But the other guys that have been there 20, 30 years that can't, you know, argue over everything that, you know, happens, you know. Then, and so they're older, they've been around, but they think we should be the president because we're the oldest here, we're, you know, this level or that level. But no, they don't have the qualification. It means they haven't been able to get it together for 30 years. This guy could get it together in, you know, a few weeks, but you won't let him because, no, we're supposed to do it because I am this, I am that. You know, so that's the whole point, is that no, you're supposed to see according to the nature. Because administration is just an ability. The devotional, now seeing to that, that's all being done in the devotional platform, that anyone who's mature in devotional service can do. And then naturally you work within areas that you can relate to. So even there is that someone's, leading preachers or senior persons. They generally tend to work in areas where, when they apply themselves, then they can get results. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why you see is that somebody can work in one area or one region of the world and get very excellent results. Someone else can't. I remember one very leading devotee who was really good at management. Then he went to one place and he just couldn't relate to them at all, because whatever he would say, he just wouldn't function. And then, his best friend, who was also one of the leading, then he came in and he could do stuff no one else had ever done. You know, it was just the way of relating. The one would just get down to brass tacks, you know, the other would have, you know, the plan. And so for that area, the plan doesn't work. It has to be, you know, down to the individual, the maverick, the rough and ready guy, that kind of thing. And then they would do stuff that no one else was doing. So therefore you're going to have this, even within the leadership, you're going to apply to see others as Krishna conscious, but you have to see as you're working in areas that you can relate to and get the results. So that way it'll be different areas, different volumes. Somebody can watch 10 temples, somebody can watch 20, someone can watch 2, but they can get the effect. And that's what you want. It's not that everything has to be equal and everything has to be the same. It's a matter of it's individual. But they see that. And then those that can understand nature, the conditioned nature, and what conditioned nature goes with what activities, that, you know, mechanical activities, then they should be giving out the services. Like that. And they're kept in line by what's the standard of devotional service by those who understand them. So the senior most devotees are seeing to the standards of devotional service, and then the others see to the mechanics. But without seeing that, then we talk all kinds of social and community things, but it can never actualize because the actual tool, that's like saying I'm going to cook and all that, but we don't need a kitchen. You know, that's external, that's mundane. And then you know, and then who's eating? What's the quality of food you get? So that's what's going on, is that you want to work on the social, political, economic platform. You can't do it without Varnashram. If you want to bring together everybody, if you only want to work with a particular niche group, then you can do it without that. You know, it's just like, let's say you're working with the economic community. So they can be inspired to do their work. They don't care for Brahmins, Kshatriyas, or Shudras. They just see where I can make profit and go for that. And so if that means I have to break down some tradition that the Brahmins or the Kshatriyas are pushing, to get that, I'll do. If there's some practice of the Shudras that, or some comfort of them that prevents me from getting profit, I'll break that down and then I'll get my profit. So that's the thing, is that you can do, but without seeing the whole thing, it won't be harmonious. But then that means everyone's restricted, and that's what no one wants. When you bring up Varnashram, the problem with it, no one wants to be restricted. They want to do whatever they feel like. So that's what it says. I mistakenly accept duties apart from my own qualifications. Didn't he say before about the thing of whimsical? Wasn't that mentioned somewhere? Yeah, here. or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scripture and working independently or whimsically. It's either someone's totally into that all the time or someone's into this, and you see as people can naturally be both. So I'm going to be whimsical where it's important for I get the benefit. I'm going to be, complete smart in areas where by controlling others I get the profit from them. In other words, where I can get profit, I whimsically do what I do to get it, and I control everybody else to make sure I get it. So it's consistent. So that's why I could say, how could you be doing both at once? Because it's self-centered. When it becomes Krishna-centered, then it's a matter I do what I should in this situation, and others are doing what they do in that situation. And so there'll be difference, there'll be this and that, and so I have to worry about what I do. Because ultimately you could say, I can't do what I do until everybody else does everything right. But no, because on the social economic platform, the better that is, the better it'll run. But the point is that your surrender to Krishna, as you pointed out, you will advance devotionally. So even if you're in a situation where people don't know, if you happen to find yourself in that rare situation where the leadership doesn't understand Varnashram, we can't engage you according to your nature, and that rare occurs, the point is that you're trying to surrender to Krishna, you do your best you can. So there will be difficulties and this and that, but you do. You can try to explain to them it would be better if you did something else, and if they are comfortable with that, great. And if not, then by you doing it, you will advance. You'll go back to Godhead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore it's a combination between, if authority is surrendered to Krishna, then they'll follow Krishna's direction on how to act as an authority and what are the qualifications. Then in that case, because they're qualified, because understanding what is qualification, they have the qualification to engage others according to their qualification. But if you don't accept what is qualification, you're unqualified to qualify, give direction of the qualifications of others. If you don't know yourself, you can't help someone else know themselves. You're interested in self-realization, you can make someone else interested. You like food, you can interest someone else in food. You hate food, how are you going to get someone else to be, totally absorbed in food? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just that if you're just talking about direct activities of devotional service, and people are saying you don't need Varnashram, this and that, things will get by because you're only going to be engaged in direct activities. Even within those, someone will be better at book distribution, someone else at the deity worship. Everybody can do all those things because they're direct activities. But to do it all day, like someone who can do puja all day, not everybody can do that. Someone can do book distribution all day, not everyone can do that. So we could do administration like that. So within the context of these direct activities and doing things for Krishna, then the more you understand this, the better it'll run. But even if you don't, still it'll get by because everyone's just focused on Krishna and everyone knows the material world's not a nice place. So if it's not a nice experience, that's because you're in the material world. But if we're talking about the social, economic, political positions and all that, and want to develop that and feel that, we focused on the temple life too much, now we have to broaden our vision and all that. How can you broaden without the tools? That's like saying we've been eating, cans of cold beans by, taking a rock and bashing in the top of it, like that, and then dumping it out in a bowl or eating it off the rock that it fell on. Then, great. But if you want to get into something broadened out, then you need a kitchen. To say you don't, that means the person saying that don't know what they're talking about. And if you see someone who is able to engage everyone according to their nature and doesn't even bother with Varnashram, that just means they have that inherent understanding, though they don't actually know the science of it, from previous lifetimes. But if you see that there's people who engage people and it actually just doesn't work, it means they can't get an effect. We're not talking about whether they're... what's the experience? Because if you look at a businessman, so much of what he goes through is not a nice experience, but because it's his nature, he can tolerate that. So there's always going to be problems. Ideas, no, if I'm perfectly engaged, there'll be no problem. That's called Vaikuntha. So here's the material world, there's always problem. No problem mentioned that. Prahlad Maharaj, he's not disturbed that his father's making so much trouble. Like that. He's simple, he's humble, so therefore, when the father says this and that, he goes along with it. You know, so here it's like this. Prabhupada's making the point. The demigods are there. Shringadeva's killed her on Kashyapu. Now Shringadeva's there. The demigods are all afraid because they don't know how to deal. Then they go to Lakshmi. She says, well, I've never seen this feature of my husband, so I don't know how to relate either. She's not even sure, is this my husband or not? Because, and being, the quality of chastity, she's not sure, she doesn't want to deal, because just in case it's not. Like that. She'll only deal with her husband, and if this is not. So then Brahma goes to Prahlad Maharaj and says, it's your father, you should deal. You're a devotee, you should deal. And the thing pointing Prabhupada's making, because he's a child, he's simple, that simplicity, that comes from the pure devotion. He's not thinking, well, hey, this guy gave me so much trouble, why I should, deal with it. It's not my problem. But he just immediately goes forward, offers obeisances. So, trouble will be there. That's the first thing to understand, is religion is not how you're going to get rid of trouble. Religion is how things will work nicely, they can move forward and elevate your, self and human life and go back to Godhead. And however much trouble is there, you don't know how much trouble you've caused in the past. You've bothered some dogs, you're walking away. It's progressive, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to be behind you barking or even coming up and nipping at your heels a little bit, just to have the last word. So that's the way it is. You've done so much nonsense in previous lifetimes, and so in this lifetime, then, you're getting the reaction of that, then it happens. But, by Krishna's grace, it's reduced. We know that. If we're getting this much trouble, and we say it's too much, imagine what it would be like if we weren't a devotee. It would be intolerable. Right? So Krishna's reduced it down to, where it's an area where you have the benefit. He doesn't get in the way of your free will, so that means he doesn't get in the way of reactions that are going to help you give up this idea of independence and take shelter of Krishna. It's always less. Even if it's so bad, it's still less. And so then that way then the individual, they see from their position how they try their best to surrender, do their best, and at the same time, as if there's an opportunity, if they understand it, they can explain. But if they're explaining that, oh, there's trouble, but, I don't accept that as devotional services to be zero trouble. No, you have to understand the material world means trouble. You just work in the area where the trouble doesn't bother you so much. Does that make sense? It's like someone who's not into cooking, it annoys them, the heat in the kitchen, they get burnt, this and all these different things like that. You make a chance and you sit there coughing for 5 minutes. That kind of stuff. But someone who's a cook, it doesn't bother them at all. The chance goes off, everyone starts cooking, you go, wow, good chance. that's all. So that's it. It's just those areas that you can tolerate, you can work with the positive elements and tolerate the negative. So you're unqualified when you can't do both of those. If you can only work, I can work with the positive but can't tolerate the negative, it means it's not your area. There must be another area that's similar, but not this one. So there's some similar elements. Does that make sense? Like that. Let's say someone is managing the Brahmachari ashram, but it drives them nuts. But certain things they do very well, organizing this, that. So it might be they can run the guest house. So they can do that kind of thing with that side, but they can't deal with the particular independent nature. But then with the guests, maybe they can. Because they're paying, you don't have to worry what time they're getting up, this, that, blah. Unless you're in one of the Sikh, what are those places called? Where you can stay?
No.
Yeah, they have an area, all the big ones, that anybody can stay. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, they clean it. So you have to move your stuff. So that means, in effect, everyone's up at 3 in the morning, takes their bath, and goes down for the program. Mm-hmm. So it's a very easy thing. They just come in with their buckets and squeegees and all that, and you move, or otherwise you get wet, and they will move you, after you're wet. So it works. No one complains. You just know, if I'm going there, I'm getting up at 3. You don't think, well, no, it's late night, I should sleep. No, you get up. Does that make sense? So, and then the leadership has to know that it's about training people in Krishna consciousness and seeing as much as possible, engaging according to their conditioning, because that's the point. In the material world, you're conditioned, therefore, you're engaging that conditioning in Krishna's service. That's how it's working. If you say, no, you just surrender, do anything, it says, okay, great, are you doing that? You know? The point is you can't expect someone else to do that you're not doing. Of course, you don't say that. Other senior men should be saying that. But the point is that's their definition of what they do. It's not a matter, I want to do it, that's because I want to be in charge, that's enough to be in charge. That's not, nowadays, that's enough. But as one of the Swamis said, that's, I think, quoting from, I can't remember which, but one of the Puranas where it says in Kali Yuga, then leadership means that you can talk what nicely. Doesn't mean you can manage at all or do anything. It just means you talk nicely, because you talk nicely, people have faith that you can do it. You know, so in other words, you know, politicians, bureaucrats, like that. Okay, so that mistakenly from my own qualification, that also then gets rid of the things that people are pushing for, things that if the scriptures say don't do it, that means don't do it. Right? No, that's what it says. But you're saying, no, I have to do it. Then it says, why are you accepting duties apart from my own qualifications? Because you say, no, I can technically do it, but you don't have the mentality. Otherwise, why would you still be doing it? You know? Ashtira Siddhante Rohinu Mojia Hari Bhakti Roilo Dure E Hridoye Matro Para Himsa Mara Pratishta Shatata Spure. I remain deeply absorbed in the quicksand of ever-changing uncertain opinions. Therefore, devotion to you has remained distant from me. It's meant to be a quicksand of ever-changing uncertain opinions. It means it's just, you can see in the news, it's this opinion, then it quickly shifts, right? Therefore, devotion to you has remained distant from me. In this heart of mine dwells only envy and malice towards others, pride, my false pride and desire for fame and honor, and deceitfulness. So then these are here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, all the enemies, right? So all these different things. So that's what's there. And because of that, then we are absorbed in idle conversation on topics apart from you, or, you know, quicksand of ever-changing uncertain opinions. It's not that. So it's only, like you saw in the last one, only by taking shelter of the holy name. Eshaba agraha charite narinu apana doshate mari janama bifala hoilo amara ekona ki kori hari. I have not been able to give up any of these inclinations. Thus my own faults have been my downfall. My birth as a human being has been totally wasted. Oh Lord, what am I to do now? So here you see, as he's showing the process to move forward. And here it says, thus my own faults have been my downfall. Rather than, oh, because this one this, and that one that, and that's why this happened, and that one that, and so therefore. No, we can advance in devotional service and come closer to Krishna despite what anybody else does. Other Prahlad, Sri Prahlad's the perfect example. And his father is completely opposed to, you know, it's not that, like, let's say you have families that, okay, yeah, we're God conscious, so stay at home. Well, you can be God conscious at home, you know, don't join the ashram. This is, you know, no God, no ashram, no nothing, you know, like that. And not only that, the other one is just they keep you at home and grumble a lot and make snide comments. Here he's trying to kill him. So no one has it this bad, as Bladmas. And so therefore, like that. And so there, that's why it's wasted, because of us, not because of someone else. Ami tu patita, patita pavana, tomara pavitra nam. Se sambandha dori, tomara charani, sharana loyinu hama. I am indeed fallen, patita, but your pure holy name is patita pavana, the savior of the fallen. Clinging to our relationship is implied by the holy name, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. So by chanting the holy name, then it implied that I'm taking shelter of you, like that. And so we know. And so this is, again, we see, what's the solution to that? No solution to the you know, the six pushings, chanting the holy name. What's the solution to these six unfavorable? Chanting the holy name. Vriti. Next song.
Songs, few songs.
Oh, it's based on.
Oh.
Then put the. Or here. Yeah. But I still put the. If it's three, put that. The next three songs are based on the third verse of Upanishadamrita. Then it makes it very clear. I mean, the other is a sutra form, but unfortunately. Yes, yeah, they're not so hot on sutras. Unless you know it so well, like Jayadvaitamars. I've seen like three-word paragraphs or something. He'll be making this whole thing, and there's a conclusion. He writes it in the next paragraph, you know, so like this, and then starts the next paragraph. So he's really good. But other than that, yes. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. One, being enthusiastic. Two, endeavoring with confidence. Three, being patient. Four, acting according to regular principles, such as Shravana Kirtana Vishnu Smarana, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Five, abandoning the association of non-devotees. Six, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. Interesting. The first one is then you have the dopamine, the second one then you have the serotonin. But for all that to work, you have to be patient. You have to act accordingly. This is song three. Hari Hey. Bhajane Utsaha Bhaktite Vishvasa Prema Labhe Dharya Dhana Bhakti Anukul Karma Pravartana Asat Sangha Visharjana. O my Lord Hari, enthusiasm in devotional service, faith in the process of devotional service, the treasure of patience in the attainment of love of God, performing activities favorable to pure devotion, abandoning the company of worldly people. Bhakti Sadachara E Chayaguna Nahilo Amarana Kemona Bojibo Tomara Charana Chariya Mayara Sata. Performing approved devotional activities, practices, I have never possessed these six devotional qualities. O Lord, how then shall I give up my affinity for Maya and worship your lotus feet? Garita Achare Rohi Lama Mochi Na Korinu Sadhu Sangha Loya Sadhuvesha Ane Upadeshi E Bodho Mayara Ranga. Remaining absorbed in abominable activities, I never keep company with sadhus. Now I adopt the garb of a sadhu and act out the role of instructing others. This is Maya's big joke. Eheno dasaya aituki kripa tomara paibo hari Sri Guru ashroye dakibo tomaya kabe va minati kore. O Lord Hari, in such a helpless condition, surely I will receive your causeless mercy. When, under the shelter of my spiritual master, will I call out to you with my humble entreaty? But he said the next three songs, but then here it says the next song.
Sorry, it's only one song, I didn't say.
Then it should be the next.
The next song is based on.
The next song is based on. Okay. So, in other words, if you take shelter of the spiritual master in that humble attitude, then you'll see we learn all about all these activities, how to do following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, right? So therefore we become enthusiastic and develop by following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Then all this endeavor with confidence, being patient, acting according to regular principles, abandoning the association of non-devotees, then all come to pass. Right, so by the association of the spiritual master and the devotees, we will gain all these favorable practices. Priti, the next song is based on the fourth verse of Upadeshamrita. offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Song 4. Hari Hey. Dana pratigraha mito gupta katha bhakshana bhojana dana sangera lakshana echaya hoy ihate bhaktira prana. O my Lord Hari, offering and receiving gifts, giving and receiving spiritual food, revealing one's thoughts and making confidential inquiries, these are the six characteristics of loving association, and in them is found the very life of devotion. Tattva na bhujiye jnane va agyane asate e shabakori bhakti harainu samsari hoinu sudhure hoile hari. I have failed to understand the truth, and by practicing these six activities with non-devotees, either knowingly or unknowingly, I lost all devotional inclination and have become a materialist. Consequently, you, O Lord, remain far away. So when it says giving up that by keeping the association of non-devotees, you develop all the bad qualities. So here he's pointing this out, because the positive then means then giving that up. And then in the association of devotees, now you do these six things. So therefore you give gifts, accept gifts from the materialists, reveal one's mind and confidence, inquire confidentially from them, accept prasad and give prasad with the materialists, then one will develop in that way. And then when it's done with devotees, it will develop in the positive way. So in other words, those six qualities that are favorable, then you can perform these activities in a devotional way that will be progressive. And if one doesn't accept those six, then one will have these six unfavorable. Then performing these six activities, one will become more materialistic. That's why association becomes such an essential part of the devotional process, because you become very materialistic by associating with materialists. Krishna bhakti jane asanga Esanga lakshane adhara koribo jabe bhakti mahadevi amara hridaya asane boshibe tabe. The day I cherish these activities of intimate association with the devotees of Sri Krishna, that very day the high goddess of devotion will take her seat upon the throne of my heart. Right, so when I enthusiastically perform these in the association of devotees under the direction of the spiritual master, then devotional service, the bhakti devi, so then will come and sit in the heart. Otherwise, then Krishna will be far away. Yoshit sangi jana Krishna bhakta ara duhun sangha parihari tava bhakta jana sangha anukshana kabe va hoibe hari. When will I give up the company of those who are addicted to the company of materialistic women and those who are averse to you? And when will I cultivate the constant association of your devotees, O Lord? Right, so here is that materialistic, because the point is why is society going on? It's going on because of the values that are there, right? And so which values become the prominent that are actually acted upon? That's the values of the women. So community is based on the values of the women. So if the women value it, you have community there. That common thing. But if the women don't value it, you can't use it. You can't apply it. You may have it, but you can't apply it. So then the company of those, because in other words, who are attached to materialistic women. So when it talks about women and those attached to women, it's mean materialist. Like that. So that's the whole point. Because then from there, why that's dangerous? Because then you'll have materialistic values. These six will be done. Because all these six, you see, is always done nicely in that kind of environment. Right? Offering gifts and charity, accepting gifts. It's always, women are the most into all this gift thing like that. Revealing one's mind and confidence, acquiring, that was before. If it's done, it's in devotional service. It's one thing. If it's done not, it's gossip. And accepting and like that, it's always over something to eat. If you're doing something, some occasion there's something to eat. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I was trying to explain this point, and I was challenged that, well, it might be true if it is matriarchal. How
matriarchal
society.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you know, it's all about women.
Okay.
But patriarch.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Then it's obviously not, because women, you know, in the burqas and, you know,
okay,
right there in the back, and
okay,
that's it.
And that's the only example of that is patriarchal society. Okay, so if we are going to go down that path, then this whole idea that it's simply a social construct that men establish, why is it in the matriarchal society where the women are the senior ones, why is it still the men go out and work and the women stay at home and do those things in the home?
This is their choice. This is how they want it.
So we see it's when the women want like that, that's how it works. So the patriarchal is only because, why do I want to work for this guy? But otherwise, when you get on their own and they get into, you know, taking care of the house, doing all those things in the house and all that, because even if you get rid of the men, one of the women stays at home. Guaranteed. You can see it. The one has the more masculine, one has the more feminine. You can't get away. It's God's creation. Say what you like. But the point is what's for dinner?
Out. The dinner's out.
Yeah, that's it. And then, but the point is in here, what do you talk about? You know, are the men going to talk about all those things and this and that? When the women are around, they're going to talk things that the women like to talk about. If you talk those things, have you ever noticed that you'd be sitting there, men and women are together, the conversation's going at something general, and then the men kind of start to veer into, yeah, well, what do you think of, you know, at the temple they did this and that like that. You see, all the women just, somehow or another, just evaporate. They just disappear and go somewhere else where they can talk something more favorable. So the point is people say this because they're not observant. They simply say this because I want to go out and have a job, and if you're not letting me doing this, then that's this, you know, then, you know, the burqa and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the point is then if we want to do that, then why is it the guy can't talk about whatever he wants whenever he wants? If you talk about what the woman wants, then the man and woman can discuss. But if you talk about what the men want, then the women don't want to discuss it. Yes, so that's the point. Who wants to? So this whole thing is they're totally unaware. It's just they have some certain issues that they want to do, but on the side, they're acting exactly as women do in the Shastras. Exactly. Anybody who knows, I mean, the female dog can rip your leg off, but she still acts as a female dog, not as a male dog. But yeah, she can walk along and, like, the guys pee on things. She can also pee on things like that. You see, the older dogs, they do that. The younger ones don't. But it's still the mood and everything is still feminine. It's just that's the way it's made. And so therefore, there's certain qualities, there's certain things. And therefore, if the women value, let's say, family, then there's family. If the women value occupation, there's no family. You can say, oh no, but there's family, I value it. Yeah, when you like, at those, you know, 1 hour a day, when it's convenient for you, that's when it is there. But for kids, it's they value it right now, it has to be now. Otherwise, then that's why they go away. It means it's new. Have we seen the kids growing up from these kind of families? You know, when you see that, you see they don't care about the parents. Or it's when they're young, they don't take care. When they're old, then they try to control their lives. Well, why didn't you try to control it when they were young? Why weren't you there? Why is it now when they don't want you to come over, you're coming over? When before they wanted you there at home, you're not there. You know, so the whole point is Krishna makes these differences. You know, so the same point that we can't accept this, it's the same point that we can't accept what's the nature of the jiva. That's your root. The jiva is feminine. We don't want to accept that. We want to be masculine, do whatever we want. And why doesn't Krishna facilitate that? That's what God's for. It comes down to that. So that's the bottom line. They could say that about matriarchal, but then why is it then if we get, okay, let's talk matriarchal, then then it says this. Why is all this? And why is it patriarchal means that how many places have that? You know, and the person saying that, are they from that region? If they are, okay, we can discuss it. But if they didn't grow up wearing a burqa, why the hell do they think that that can be the example used? They grew up, there's no burqa. They don't even wear dupattas. You know, there they cover their whole body, right? But in Europe, you know, the ladies walk around in things that are very tight, everything's hanging out, and nothing's that, and then you're not doing what you want, and oh, we're so restricted. It's kind of like, what do you mean? You know, other than walking around with no clothes on, then, you know, you're as close as you can get. Like that.
I mean, by traveling, I've just noticed you don't have to know the place. You just see how people walk on the street.
Mm-hmm.
When is the man following the lady,
mm-hmm.
that means matriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
And when the lady follows behind the man, that means that it's like really obvious.
Yeah, yeah, it's very obvious. Except in Vietnam.
I've never been.
No, no, because one time somebody was doing an article, I think it was a lady journalist, that they had been in Vietnam, I think before the war, and then they went after the war. And they noticed that before the war, the man would always, when they're going through the fields, you know, because they all live in villages, so you have to, you know, you have the rice fields and you have those little gap between, you walk on those between your house and the next village. So the man walked in front and the lady walked behind. But he said, after the war, the lady walks in front, the man walks behind. So then he asked, why is this happening? And so, see, I guess he would have asked the ladies, you know. And the lady says it's because from the war, there's so many mines in the field that if you walk, you know, whoever walks in front, we get blown up. And so the point is as a woman, you wouldn't want to be alone with the kids and no husband. So, you know, but he, if you get blown up, he can get married again. He's cool with that. Then it goes on. So therefore, the women want to walk in front.
This is why they won the war.
That's why they won the war. That's
now we understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you know. So that's the whole thing is the more the man acts as a man, the more the woman acts as a woman. And therefore, he has more of that masculine control, but she has more feminine control. So the whole thing is it's this balanced. Problem is it's when it's out of balance or one's not accepting. I accept my control, but you don't have any control. Right. So that's the problem. It's the point is it's a cooperation. It's a completeness. So that's the difficulty that comes up is one doesn't know the nature. Therefore, that's what we were talking about before. You don't know the nature. How do you even have community? Because it's there. You go, okay, community. But you don't even know what's masculine, feminine, what's parent, child, what's teacher, student, what's leadership, what's those who are following. You know, one doesn't understand this at all. And so then it can't be applied. That's why it's just human life starts there. Then what you do with human life. Nowadays, it's arguing over what's human life or not. Who's behaving as a human? Because it's up for discussion. All those things that are said, this is human life. No, that's not. And so then, what are we arguing over? You know, what kind of animal we want to be? You know, someone wants to be the tiger, someone wants to be the this. You know, it's just like, I think there's, I can't remember what it is, but I think it's when the, you know, it's just like, let's say for the tigers, once the cubs are born, then the tiger, the lady takes the cubs and disappears, you know, and that's it. I'm not sure. I think the lions, they stay together, but the cubs stay more around the ladies. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the tigresses, they go off on their own. Like, who needs a guy, right? You know? And that, but I think it's like, I can't remember if it's one, but one kind of fish. It's that after the eggs are established, the guy sits there with them. Lady goat disappears. Yeah, that's one type of fish, you know. But the point is it's that, you know, just like one type of burka, you know. The examples go both ways. You know, so he's there because he's bigger, because everyone wants to eat the eggs, so then he's there and he scares them off, you know. He's got a bigger mouth, like that, and so then, you know, that's why there's thousands of them, so at least two or three of them survive, right?
Yeah.
You know, so...
Hmm? Survival of the people?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so that was all there's up there. Yeah, so that's the thing. Is so the company of materialistic women and those who are averse, you know, and that company of those addicted to the company. So it mentions women and those addicted to it. So that specifically means materialistic women and men attached to materialistic women. That's the main thing. Otherwise, for devotees, men and women, then they're absorbed in Krishna, and so then you don't really have that problem. Does that make sense? But if someone's too much into their being women, and someone's too much addicted to the feature of women, even as devotees, it will slow down their progress. Because they're not attached to the devotee part. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.